Praise God. Amen. How big is your God?
So big.
Because we could kids chorus. How great is our God? How great is His name? That's one of them. And then there's the one is that was the love of God. The love of God is how big is the love of God towards you and to me? It's so big. You can't get round it. It's so high. You can't get over it. It's so low. You can't get under it. Oh, wonderful love. Psalm 63. I'm stuck. I am stuck. And the thing I'm stuck on is seek ye first the King of the kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. I can't get away from it. I've tried. And all I do is go around in a circle and I end up back somehow at seek ye first.
Yeah.
The King. Matthew 6:33. You all know it. We've spoke about it so many times this last 2 years.
Yeah.
Isn't it? 2 years now. Yeah. And we're moving on to our third year. Why is God saying this? Appears to be saying this time and time and time and time again. I believe He's saying it because we're not yet doing it.
Yeah.
And I speak of myself.
Yeah.
We're not yet doing it. God wants to have such a relationship with you and I. He wants to have a relationship that nobody else has got with you.
Yeah.
And He wants you to have a relationship with Him that nobody else has got. Because it is personal.
Yeah.
And it is deep. It's like the relationship of a husband and wife. Nobody has that same relationship with grace that I do. And God wants you to have a relationship that is unique.
Amen.
With Him.
Yeah.
A relationship that nobody else has got.
Amen.
Oh, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, who am I? You're His begotten child.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
You're not. You are not just an adopted child into the family of God. You're begotten through Christ Jesus. You're His. And you are very, very special. Psalm 63, a psalm of David. The thirsting soul satisfied in God is the title in my Bible. And the first verse starts off, David starts like this, "O God, Thou art my God."
Well,
we can probably all say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
"O God, Thou art my God." Yeah. And then he goes on and says, "I shall seek you earnestly."
Yeah.
That might be a challenge. I've got a busy day, Lord. Got things to do. a lot of things I might get tied up with, Lord, so maybe we'll talk later. We've all done it, we all do it. But David says, O God, thou art my God. I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee. David is in love with his Heavenly Father. You see, David is not living, as we've said in the past, he's not living under the law. He's living in the day of grace. The relationship that God wants to have, that God intended right from the very beginning of creation. In the Garden of Eden. That relationship where God comes and sits and chats and you sit on his knee. He hugs you and you hug him. He shares pictures with you. Sometimes we call them visions. Sometimes think today, maybe it's a little bit difficult when you say to people, oh, I've had a vision. They think, oh, he must be very super spiritual. He's had a vision. All a vision is a picture. Is it not?
Yeah.
All a vision is a picture. God is drawing a picture to tell you something quickly. Many of us work in pictures anyway. Show you a picture and you'll remember quite a lot about it. Maybe read it to you, read the description of the picture and you probably won't remember half as much. God wants you to see visions. God wants you to see pictures of what he wants to say. This is then your relationship and my relationship growing with him. The word says, my sheep will hear my voice. Well, I'm sure we can paraphrase that a little bit, and my sheep will see the pictures that I send them. Did you get a picture from God? You've got all of you, many of you got these phones, you can send photographs over them, can't you? I got a picture from somebody. I got a text message from somebody. Did you get a text message from God? These days, we had one today. These days, people are sending things around and saying, you know, send this prayer to 20 other people. And this is what happened to somebody who didn't send it. Was it? What was it? Did somebody die? Somebody died in his family. And then to the person who did send it, guess what happened? They won the lottery. Hang on. You should not have to be mentally bribed, or maybe the other word is mentally conned, manipulated into doing things. But from the very heart, you desire to do these things. Seek ye first God. It's from the heart. It's not from this.
No.
You know? Because all sorts of things run through there.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah. Sometimes they run through so fast that you drop them.
You do.
Yeah. Do you know? You've all done it, haven't we? I was just going to. You know, you've set off somewhere, haven't you? I was just going to do something. Now, what was it? Oh, I've dropped it. I've dropped that thought somewhere. And you backtrack, don't you? And as you backtrack, there it is. You pick it. Got it. Right, off you go. We'll carry on and do it. It is strange. We all do it, don't we? Happens to us all. So, now then. So, are all these thoughts out here somewhere? You know, here we are going round with two little tentacles on top of our heads, you know. And suddenly, oh, that one dropped off. I just need to go back and pick it up again. Oh, yeah, got it, right. Off we go. Is that what happens? God is sometimes, you know, trying to catch our attention. Sometimes we drop what he's saying to us. And we have to come back to that point. It's not by pressure, it's by desire. You know? It's by desire. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh yearns for thee, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Sadly, you know, there are a lot of churches like that. Dry, weary land where there's no water. There's no refreshing. You know, when you're thirsty and you drink water, it gives you refreshment, doesn't it? It refreshes you. Goes through you and quickens you and refreshes you. When you're in a hot place and you get some fresh water, it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's like nectar. Wonderfully refreshing. It touches every part of the body in that sense, doesn't it? Our nations are dry and thirsty land. I know you can look at the TV and you might think, oh, there's quite a lot going off in the nation. You know, there's these radios, there's these radio programs, there's these TV programs. They're all out there and we're out there dashing around in the airwaves. But how many unsaved people are we touching? You and I can reach out and touch somebody each day with Jesus. And it's a challenge for us. But you see, if we love God so much, we have so much of God to share. We've got so much to give. Stop looking at yourself and saying, I am nobody. Stop looking at yourself and saying, I'm not as good as so and so. They're better at it than me. God is not concerned how good you are at something. Glory to God. All he's concerned about is, are you willing?
Amen.
Do you have that desire? The Bible says, go out, lay hands on the sick.
Yeah.
Are you the healer?
No.
Well, who is?
God.
God. And he's working through you. Ah, but what if he don't? It's not your problem because you're not the healer.
No.
And if that is a problem to you, right? Then you better deal with your pride.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Because what you're really saying is, well, if it don't work, what will people think about me?
Right.
And that is, yeah, me, the I.
Right.
Yeah. No matter what they think about you. Because let me tell you this, and we all know it, they only remember you for the last thing you did, whether it were good, bad or indifferent. You know, you could have done nearly 100 years of good things and do one thing wrong. And that's it, they've got you. I remember when, and they will nail it and nail it and nail it. It's all right. Let them do it. That's the way of the world. That's the negativeness of the world. But God's looking at you and saying, what good things can you do in the kingdom of God today? What good things can you do? Are you available?
Yes.
Are you available?
Yes.
God's looking for availability. He's not looking for the sign engaged.
No.
Looking for the sign I'm available. I'm available, Lord.
No.
What verse did we get to? I know we're not very far. No. Oh, we've done one, have we? Oh, praise God. I said to myself, I'll not be long because it's cool in here today. This I beheld thee in thy sanctuary. To see thy power and thy glory.
Wow.
Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Oh, hallelujah. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Thy loving kindness, God, towards me. Oh, it's even better than life. It's eternity. His loving kindness is for eternity. It's not just for now. It's eternal loving kindness. You can't say that of people around you.
No.
They're kind to you while you're kind to them. You do something wrong, guess what? So give them a piece of my mind. But God's loving kindness is eternal.
True love.
Absolutely true love. And when you see, and verse 4, I will lift up my hands in thy name. What we do in lifting up our hands, we're giving thanks. We're giving him glory. We're giving him praise. And we're saying, guess what, Lord? There's nothing in my hands. I'm ready. There's nothing in my hands, Lord. I'm ready. There's nothing that's tying me down. There's nothing. I'm ready, Lord. What is it you want me to do? Lord, by your Spirit, come. Come amongst us. And do it in me, Lord. Do it in me. My soul is satisfied. As with marrow and fatness, as my bones are filled with the joy of the Lord, I am satisfied with God. And my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. You see, this is it. We begin to give him praise, we begin to give him thanks, and we do it with our lips. Mm-hmm. We don't do it with our minds. We do it with our lips.
Amen.
We express our thanksgiving to God with our whole being.
Yeah.
Lifting our hands, and our lips are filled with joy because of what God has done. And you see, Pete, as you begin to declare what God has done, people listen. They want to know. They want to know. You will have people who don't want to listen, that's okay. But there are people listening. People listening. As I started off earlier on in the service, telling you about that young man, Mark, that I was speaking with, seeing a gradual change in him. As we come into contact with him, during periods of time. Same with Lee, we saw those changes. He took hold of it. And do you know what changed him? Your love.
Yeah.
Your acceptance. Your rejoicing. Your enthusiasm in God.
Yeah.
Convinced him that there is a better way.
Amen.
And that there's something better in life other than what he's had for the last 37 years. And that's the loving kindness of God. And each week, each day he came, he'll have looked at each one of you. Did he see fallings out? Did he see arguments and divisions? No. He saw a love. He saw unity, he saw faith, and he saw Jesus. And that's what brought him through, you see. And he heard each and every one of you spoke to him and greeted him. Every one of us could turn away and say to him, he's dirty, he smells. He's not the smartest and cleanest of people. And I don't mean that nastily. But that's what some people would do. Jesus went to the beggars. He went to the sick, to the halt, to the lame. He went to the sinners.
Yeah.
He went to those that needed to change.
Amen.
He went to those that needed a God. He went to those who needed salvation.
Yeah.
He went to those who needed a Saviour.
Yeah.
He went to those who needed healing. He went to those who needed feeding. He went to those who wanted to know more about God and change their lives. He didn't go to the righteous. He didn't go to them that said, I'm all right. You know, I go to church twice a week, I'm fine. He came for the sinners. Verse 6 says, I will remember you on my bed. I meditate on thee in the night watches. There have been some nights this last few days I have been awake again, bouncing around the bed, and you just think, well, what am I going to do? So just focus on God. Begin to focus on God, you know. And it's like, God, are you there? Do you want to say something to me? And everything was silent. I'm thinking, what's he doing? And then I suddenly thought, John, I thought to myself, maybe he wants to hear something from me. Yeah, wise up, Andrew, you know. Hey, smarten up a bit, you know. He wants to hear your voice. Yeah. He wants to hear something from you. Yeah. He wants you to tell him, Lord, I love you. Amen. Lord, I need you. Amen. Lord, I made a mistake this week. Lord, forgive me. I just love you. I just want to be more like you. Help me, little God, to be more and more and more like you. Amen. Lord, I realize that without you, I'm diddly squat. No. Lord, without you, I've got nothing to say. No. Lord, without you, I've got no abilities. No. I'm just a... Well, I don't know what I am. Without Jesus, I have no identity. I'm a vapor in life.
Yeah.
You know something? Everybody in this world today, if they don't know Jesus and never come to know Jesus, they will just be a vapor in life. Yeah, just passing through. Leaving nothing behind that will last. Because everything will be laid before God and will be weighed and tested through fire. And if we don't know Jesus, if we've not been obedient, if we've not followed Him, and I'm not fear-mongering, I'm being just, it's about this relationship that we need to have with Jesus and do what He tells us to do, then we will have something to offer Him. And our life will not be a vapor of nothingness that passes through 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years or whatever it might be. Or as Bill says, he's going for 120. I'll get it in first. And so, we don't want our lives to be a vapor of nothingness, do we? What we need is our lives that when we come before the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity on that great judgment day, it says we will cast our crowns before Him. We have something to give to Him, to honour Him with. One of them's Lee. You were all part of it. Bringing him to Jesus, bringing him to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to the great God Almighty, so that He might change his life. Yeah. When I remember thee on my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches. You know, don't let the enemy trouble you if you can't sleep.
No.
Don't start feeling guilty. Oh, I must have done something wrong, or I've got this wrong, or you know, I should have done this. Begin to praise Him. Praise releases things from heaven. Praise releases the presence of God. And as you worship Him, He will come into your very, very bedroom and minister to you. You see, God is not condemning you. He knows you're a weak, cracked vessel. He knows you leak. Right? He knows we're broken cisterns. Crackpots. Yeah, there you go. That's what the world says. We're crackpots. We know we are. God's already told us that. So has everybody else.
Yeah.
When Jesus comes in, he begins to deal. And the potter's hand comes upon us. And a process begins. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, "For thou hast been my help." See? He's there to be your help. He's not there to... David don't say he's there to condemn me.
No.
He's my help. "And in the shadow of thy wings I will sing for joy."
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He says he hovers over us. He says his wings come over us that we might shelter. Underneath his wings, that we might be covered by him, covered by his glory. And when that begins to happen, it says we just rejoice. Start to rejoice.
Amen.
You see, God is near. If he shadows over you, he must be in your presence somewhere.
Amen.
He must be near.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He must be near. How close is God to you? Verse 8 says, "My soul clings to thee. Thy right hand upholds me." Praise God. Remember that even though you make mistakes, even though you feel inadequate, God's there. Come on. Let's do it. He's got hold of us. Taking us forward, step by step. He sent his Holy Spirit to lead us, to direct us and move us forward. Cling to God.
Yeah.
Don't cling to the things of this world.
No.
Cling to God.
Amen.
As we cling to God, we will see great and mighty things being done in our lives and in the lives of others that we come into contact with, the lives of others that we touch and change. We will only change lives when the life of God has changed us.
Yeah, that's true.
When God has done something in us that has changed us, then we can change. We can then pass that on that helps change others.
Yeah.
We need to experience those things in God.
Yeah.
God is not a distant being that when one day when we arrive in glory, we shall see him. It's not what he says. That's not what the word says. He wants to be in relationship with you and I right now, this very moment. He wants you to feel him sat by your side.
Amen.
He wants you to feel his hand upon you right now. You remember the story I told you when we were in Romania, and that dear lady with a shoulder that was causing her great problems, and we prayed with her and I said, "God's going to heal you tonight." I said, "You'll feel God touch you before you leave this place tonight." And she felt the hand more than once upon her shoulder during the meeting. That's how close God is. Sat amongst us. Because he wants to touch us. You know, if you see a man and wife and there's, you know, they're walking down the street and they just walk as if, as individuals. Or if walking down the street and they have their arms around each other, they're becoming one. Maybe you would look at them and say, "Oh, yeah, isn't that nice?" They're in love.
Secure.
They're close to one another. God wants exactly the same spiritually.
Yeah.
With you. You see, don't get rid of this picture that one, that God has got a big stick. Get rid of this picture that God is somewhere out there, a gazillion miles away, that you can't reach him and he can't reach you.
No.
Because that contradicts the word of God. Because the word of God says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you.
Amen.
So where is he? Hello? Where is he? He's right. He's right here now. He's right here. He's inside, yeah. The very presence, the very essence, the very presence, the love of God is here right now. Problem is, we're not seeing it often enough. We're not realising it often enough. We think of ourselves as being unworthy. Yeah, you made mistakes. You made some mistakes this week. You blew it. So did God get up and say, that's it, I'm leaving.
No.
I've had it with you, well, I'm out. Is that what he said? He says, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. God weeps for us. He weeps for us. Why does he weep? He doesn't weep out of sorrow in the sense of anger. But he weeps out of love because he's got something far better for you and for me. He's not seeking to put pressure on us. It's a willingness to change. It's a surrendering of our will to God to change. Not, you must do this to receive your blessing. If you don't do this in the next 30 minutes, you will not receive your blessing. Want to bet? The word tells me I will bless you. I will bless your bread, bless your water, and take sickness from the midst of me. The word tells me I shall be overtaken by blessings.
Amen.
So that one's a lie from the pit.
Yeah.
It's a lie from the pit. If you don't do this and send this to 20 people, you'll not get your blessing. Well, guess what? I've already got it. So I don't see why I should send it. I've got it. We are the blessed. And we are blessed. Yeah, that's right. We are blessed to be
a blessing.
A blessing. The Bible says, freely have you received. Freely give. That's what we do here. We give and give and give. And there are a lot of people who have been and come and taken and taken. And taken. That's fine. Sadly, many of those have still got the wrong attitude. They're just takers. Do you know something? A lot of them are still lost. Because they're just takers. The givers, believe it or not, are the ones who are found. Givers are the ones who have been found. Because the spirit of this age is to gimme, 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 which is take, take, take. Is that not true? That's the spirit of this age that we live in. I have a right. You have no rights whatsoever. You have a right to give. Give. And as we give, then you see the example is in the Lord Jesus. Did he come to take? He came to give himself 100%. Give himself that you and I will have life. And have it on a meager level.
No.
Abundantly. But it all comes out of seeking God.
Amen.
Seek God. Declare the mysteries of God. Believe God for pictures, dreams, and visions.
Amen.
Ask Him for them. But when He gives them to you, share them. Encourage one another. But seek God first. This year, 2014, seek God first.
Yes.
Do the work of the kingdom.
Amen.
And when I say the kingdom, I mean the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of darkness.
No.
Because there are many people who go to church who do the work of the kingdom of darkness. Ripping off the saints. Ripping off those that are gullible. Fearing, bringing fear and warmongering amongst them. But let the love of God flow in your life and in my life. And let God be God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the King of the kingdom. And His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. The Lord bless you.
Amen. Amen.